Let's praise him in advance. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Yes.
Our God is an amazing God.
Yes.
Our God is a God that looks beyond our faults and sees our needs.
Yes.
Our God gives us what we need, even we don't even know we need.
Yeah.
He meets us at a place between what I know I ought to do and what I've been doing. He meets us at a place when I step too far to the left, but he know how to get me just right back to the right.
Yes. Yes.
This morning, for just a few minutes, I want to talk about what's so amazing about grace.
My God. My God.
What's so amazing about grace?
Yes.
Monday was a holiday. We celebrated the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And as I sat at home, I was flipping through the channels and I came across BET, Black Entertainment Television.
All right.
And they were showing the Rosa Parks story. And for the life of me, even at my age, I wondered why I had never seen the Rosa Parks story. Now, I read about Rosa Parks. I heard about Rosa Parks. But I never seen the life of Rosa Parks depicted. And about 45 minutes into the show, I was more mad and upset than I was the first 10 minutes of the show. And the first thing that popped into my spirit is, what's so amazing about grace? Now, I'm watching Rosa Parks endure what she endured in the 60s. And I'm seeing all of the injustices and the things that are going on. And in the back of my mind, I'm wondering how we never understood the real meaning of the words amazing grace.
Yes.
How sweet the sound.
Yes.
That saved a wretch like me. And when I watched that story, it hit me. Like the Holy Spirit has never hit me before, that if it had not been for the amazing grace of the people that had gone before us, then where would we be right now today? What's so amazing about grace? I watched in angst as the man told her to get off the bus. I watched in desperation as the man reached for his weapon to put her off the bus, only to tell her to get off the front of the bus, walk around the bus, to go back into the Negro entrance of the bus. 45 minutes in, I'm pissed off. Lord knows, but for the grace of God, there go I could not bend an adult in those times, because I don't believe I would have possessed the resilience of a Rosa Parks. I don't believe I could have possessed the tenacity of a Rosa Parks. I know for beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't have in me the endurance of a Rosa Parks. What's so amazing about grace? We live in a period in time where we take everything for granted.
Yes, Lord.
It comes when we want it to come. We click it, it's there. We say where to ship it, it's there. We say who to send it to. It can be gift wrapped and sent with a note just like you delivered it yourself. We live in a right now society and we forget what those who came before us had to endure to give us the privilege to click it and send it. What's so amazing about grace?
My God,
help me for this
spirit.
In all that I think about, in the 45 almost years that I have been alive, I began to think more about the people that I know in my family who went through what I saw Rosa Parks endure. I don't think that I have ever taken the time to take into the account the number of aunts and uncles and my grandparents and cousins and all of what was going on to shape who they had become in order to get me to who I am today.
Yes.
You see, there's something about the story of the elders that we often don't want to listen to. Because every time that a senior person in our family begins a story with once upon a time, we tune them out. Every time they begin a story with I remember when, we walk into the other room. Every time they say, baby, let me tell you a story, we decide we need to get up and run and go do something or pretend as if we are not interested in what they have to say.
Yeah.
But it's those stories that begin to paint the picture for the biblical text that groomed them and let them be who they were in such tough times in our society. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 16. It says in the NIV translation, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. One blessing after another. And as I begin to put this scripture to memory, and as I begin to work the scriptural text, and in my thinking of what's so amazing about grace, there are three things that I want to cover this morning. What do I gain from grace? What do I get from grace? And how do I give from grace? Now see, the Lord has had a lifetime to kind of work this through, but it wasn't until just this week that he began to bring some points home that I know will last for a lifetime as I move and grow in him. The first question is, what do I gain from grace? What I have gained from grace is my rewards from my experience with Christ. And I'm going to give these to you as an acronym. The first one is GRACED. Gaining rewards at Christ's expense. GRACE. Gaining rewards at Christ's expense. And this is how you begin to answer the question, what do I gain from grace? You see, grace didn't just happen to show up at your doorstep. Grace didn't just happen to come because you went to school and got a degree and landed yourself a decent job and planted yourself in a community and now you're giving back. See, grace didn't just happen that way. You said it says that in the beginning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is the grace that we have gained at Christ's expense.
Yeah.
Grace. These are the rewards that we receive. When I think more and more from the passage of scripture with John chapter 1 verse 16, and it says we have grace and these blessings and these gifts one after another, it means that with Christ dying and his resurrection, because of that death, the ultimate expense that he paid for me to have this great reward that I'm living today, there's some benefits that are going to keep on giving year after year and day after day and moment after moment simply because Christ made the ultimate sacrifice for me. But then what do I do with that grace? Do I keep it to myself? Do I hoard it and put it away to the side until I need it again? And see, I know some people like that. They got their grace tucked away somewhere in a drawer. Or maybe they keep their grace somewhere under their mattress. Or maybe they keep it real close by. You know how we do with our personal stuff, and it's somewhere tucked down. And then there's some other people who keep their grace in their back pocket. You see, that grace is just for them. You know, this is the reward. They have gained their reward at Christ's expense. And that's as far as they take it. It is their personal grace. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that this is the grace that we have received, one blessing after another. So am I supposed to keep my grace to myself? Or is my grace supposed to be shared with other people.
Yeah.
You see, when Christ died, it was a once and for all type of thing. Mm. But it's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
It has benefits day after day and time after time. And think with me just for a moment. From the time that you came into a revelation knowledge of who Jesus was, at the time that you decided to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, did it just stop at that moment? Did you say, Lord, come into my heart, I'm going to walk down the aisle and get baptized? Did it end just there for you? It's an ongoing benefit. You see, what's so amazing about grace is that it has a past, a present, and a future.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the mere fact that even God sent his only son to earth is that it has a past benefit, mm-hmm. it has a present benefit,
yes.
and it has a future benefit.
Yes, yes,
you,
yes.
you see, it is one of those things that it has a very significant place in beginning.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's for the right now
yes.
and the not yet.
Yes.
You see, that's one of the things that we have to begin to realize, that this grace that we have been given, it has a place. And if you've decided to put a period mm-hmm. at your mm-hmm. grace moment rather than a comma, yeah. then you're missing out on what yeah. comes next, because it says blessing after blessing yeah. upon blessing after oh, another yeah. blessing. Yeah. It is the gift of grace that keeps yeah. on giving.
Yes, yes.
But it doesn't end there, because see, this is still my personal grace.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Even though I got it and it's going to last me a lifetime, it's still personal.
Yeah.
It's just about me. Mm-hmm. But the second thing that I learned, and what's so amazing about grace, is the question, what do I get from grace? Getting respect at Christ's exposure. Grace. Getting respect at Christ's exposure. What would have happened if Christ had never walked among the earth? Ever before we get exposed in our faith out to the world, there was the man called the Messiah, the Son of the Living God, who had the ultimate exposure to the people
yes.
so that he could teach us the lessons. Now, even though his time on earth was very short, it did not preclude him from the fact of making a larger impact
yes.
with the time that he had.
Yes.
So what we should do is take our personal grace, mm-hmm. the grace, that thing that we gained as a reward at the expense of Christ, mm-hmm. and now we begin to take that grace and we move it out into the world because of his exposure.
Yes.
How many of you honestly believe that you could endure the way Christ endured? Mm-hmm. How many of you believe that you could stand people talking about you everywhere you went? Mm-hmm. Even before you got there, your name was mud. Mm-hmm. Even before you got there, people had put slander out on you. Mm-hmm. Even when you were born, they were trying to kill you because somebody else had already heard how good you
yes,
were going to be
yes,
when
yes.
you got to where you were going. You
yes.
see, this is the kind of thing that we need to take into consideration, that there is an exposure that Christ was submitted to that we ourselves shun from. Mm-hmm. But that's the ultimate mystery about grace. Mm-hmm. You see, when Christ came into the world, when he walked among the people here on earth, he endured all the trials and tribulations that we ourselves would ever experience, so that we could look in the 66 books of the Bible and have a living example, a living testimony
yes, yes.
of how to make it through ourselves. But then again, that's something else we take for granted.
Yeah.
We take Christ's exposure for granted. All of the teachings, all of the parables, all of the lessons, all of the healing, all of the faith, all of the favor, all of the everything that he gave of himself just so that we could live from his living being, mm-hmm. we take that for granted. Mm. What's so amazing about grace? It has its place in history, but at the same time, it has its place in our lives in the right here and the right now.
Yes, yes.
Think for one moment, a single situation that you are facing that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is only because the grace of God
yes,
that
yes,
it
yes,
exists.
Yes, yes.
Now, oddly enough, we use a phrase that is not biblical in a manner in which we think it is. And the phrase is, but for the grace of God,
yeah.
there go I.
Uh-huh.
That is not biblical. It's nowhere in scripture. And actually, it's from the 1500s, where a man actually said through his own personal experience and looking at the downtrodden in his community, he said, but for the grace of God, there go I.
Yes.
Think about it for a moment. When we're riding down the street, mm-hmm. panhandling, mm-hmm. somebody want to wash your windshield. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to pump your gas. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs a meal, something to eat. Mm-hmm. But for the grace of God, there go I.
Yeah.
Every time you're watching the news, mm-hmm. someone's house is burned down.
Yes, Lord.
Some elderly woman is brutalized in her home. Mm-hmm. Someone was in a car accident, but for the grace of God, there go I. And even though that particular phrase is not in the passage of scripture, turn again to John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of grace, we have received one blessing after another. So even though it's not there in the scripture, it is inferred that if it was not for the fullness of grace and the exposure of Christ, we would not be able to have what we have. Yes. We would not be able to be who we are.
Yes.
We wouldn't have the testimonies that we share so freely with other people if it had not been for the grace upon grace and the blessing upon blessing. In every situation that we face and everything that we do, we recognize there is Christ in the middle of it.
Yeah.
We get back to Christ past, Christ present, and Christ future. It is because of his exposure, his willingness to take on this human body, this frail body with its limitations, after he had already been set on high with the Father in glory, he says, Father, let me go. Send me to rescue them. And you know that he said that because even at his crucifixion, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, the people still had not seen the beauty in the life and times of the Messiah. It wasn't that they hadn't heard he was coming.
Yeah.
Because his cousin John the Baptist had gone before him
and
said, there's going to be one who comes before me. There's going to be a one that is a voice crying in the wilderness. But you will not receive the same kind of baptism that I want to give, but you will receive a Holy Spirit-filled baptism. Mm-hmm. This is the exposure of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the term exposure takes on a different meaning. Not only do you think about the exposure that Christ gave us, but what happens to the life that becomes exposed to Christ? Think about that for a moment. You know, there's always two sides to every coin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got God on the head side because he's the head of.
Yes.
And then we're on the flip side of the coin. I'll call it back because the word of God says that we are not the head nor the tail.
Therefore,
we'll turn to the back. And on the back side of everything that is of God, we the people come on the back of Christ.
Yes.
And so we have to think about what exposure, in having exposure to Christ, how much greater does that make our lives? How much greater does that give us the ability and the influence to impact people who are around us if we would but say a word to somebody, if we would but consider the possibility of being engaged in another person's life, if we would even take a moment to take notice about who someone is and what it is they may be facing, then you get the double exposure.
Come on.
Have you ever seen a film, a picture developed that had double exposure? Double exposure is rather interesting because you can see the picture frame of the first and the second picture that you took. And when it's developed, both pictures are in there together. And it gives you a very unique perspective because you start to wonder in your mind, what was I doing in this picture? And then what was I doing in this picture? And it gives you a different level of context about what was going on with you at that moment. Those are really good memories. And what the Lord is revealing is that in this moment that we have with Christ, we need double exposure. We need to be exposed to him as much as people need to be exposed to us because we know him. What's so amazing about grace? The first question we ask is, what do I gain from grace? And I am able to gain rewards at Christ's expense. The second question we ask is, what do I get from grace? I get respect at Christ's exposure. The third question we ask is, what or how do I give from grace? Mm-hmm. You see, I started with my little personal space. Mm-hmm. I got my reward. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. That was all about me. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere in the middle of all of that, I got exposed to more of the Word of God. And God mm-hmm. began to say, just get out there. Mm-hmm. Put yourself out there. I got you. There's nothing mm-hmm. going to happen to you. Be exposed on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And we get to this place where my giving, this is going to be a good one, giving reciprocally as Christ's example. Reciprocally. You got to reciprocate what he has already given you to somebody else. Yeah, reciprocity. R-E-C-I-P-R-O-C-A-L-L-Y. Reciprocally. Reciprocity. You got to reciprocate. All right. You got to give it back in the same manner that you gave or received. And that's what happens. That is our grace. How do I give from a position of grace? That's not always easy. Turn with me in your scripture to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We're gaining reward at Christ's expense. We're getting respect at Christ's exposure. We're giving reciprocally as Christ's example. Because what's faith and grace if you're not setting an example for those around you? That's one of those double exposure type things. We read example, and then you got to be an example. You got to be. He says, read my word. He says, do not be readers only of my word or hearers of the word, but you got to do my word also. And so we take these things into consideration. So if you would, Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to be reading this from the NIV. And then I'm going to read it again from the Message. Because I Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I mean, I really enjoy this scripture. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In the Message Bible, it's a little bit longer, but I really do like it. In the Message Bible, it reads, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, mm-hmm. made us fit for him. Wow. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's not all. Mm-hmm. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his doors to us. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. It's something amazing about grace. When you look at this passage of scripture and you begin to think about how you can begin to give back, and in short, that's what that reciprocity is. You got to give back as Christ's example out into the world. Remember, we began with the gift that keeps on giving. It was not a once and for all time. It was an ongoing thing. For some of us, it is an ongoing process trying to get into that place where we feel comfortable being able to give back. And once we get there, we recognize that even though we went through it all, even though we endured the hardship, even though we endured the shame, even though it was painful taking ownership of everything we have ever done, it allows us to be a more effective example, because that is the whole purpose of the grace. The purpose of the grace is that we would begin to give back the same way that Christ gave of his life to us. And when we look at these particular verses, the thing that stands out to me the most is that I'm not working in this thing by myself. Right here in the middle, it says, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment. Mm-hmm. Not after you did your part. Mm-hmm. Not before you got there, but at the same moment, he has already thrown open his door to us.
Yeah.
You see, just at the moment when you think every door is closed, and just at that moment when you don't think there's another opportunity, just at that moment when you think everything that could go wrong can keep going wrong, mm-hmm. at the same moment.
Same moment.
His door opens so that you can step into the safety that grace provides.
Yes, yes.
That's the mystery of grace. Yes. The mystery of grace is that we're receiving something that we never should have been receiving in the first place. Now, the other side to grace is that you're not getting what you deserve. Let that settle for a minute.
Come on.
It's not getting what you deserve, because we know that we have done some things that if God had exacted retribution on us, it couldn't be considered grace. Mm. But the reason that it is grace is because God looked past.
Ooh,
God looked beyond.
Yes,
God decided to look in the other direction.
Yes.
He decided he wasn't even going to pay attention. God is the only person that can turn a blind eye to your mess and not throw it back in your face. That's what's so amazing about grace. That's what's so amazing about grace. I didn't do anything to earn it.
Mm.
But yet, because I am his child, because I understood the expense, because I was able to get myself out there and be vulnerable and get exposed, because I was able to be that example, he gave me something I never saw coming.
My God.
That's what's so amazing about grace. Mm-hmm. But think about it for a minute. It takes it one step further. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. He takes it one step further. I swear, I thank God that I'm a Christian. I do every single day. Because when I am in that place I was last Monday, thinking about Miss Rose Parks, when I was tweeting and putting it on Facebook how mad I was about that whole situation, and then if today I had to endure that, I just know y'all would have to get bail money.
Yes,
because I know me. I'm not one of those people who's not wise enough to recognize I may have been delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't been delivered that far from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to know yourself, people.
Yeah.
I've been delivered, but I'm not delivered that far from.
Some
parts of my character and my nature, because there are so many things that go on in this world and in this life that are so absurd. That make things seem so bizarre that I often wonder what century I'm living in.
Yeah.
But I recognize, thank God for his grace. Romans chapter 5.
Yes.
In thinking of this thing as it relates to grace.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15. Yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dealing sin.
Thank you.
If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do.
Yeah.
There's no comparison between the death-dealing sin and the generous life-giving gift. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this wonderful life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing,
can
you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that the one man, Jesus Christ, provides? I'm thinking and believing and faithing my way through.
Yeah.
Because I know that's the only way that I can make it. I have to read the Word of God. I have to want to internalize the Word of God. I have to be able to want to put the Word of God into practice. But yet, even in my going, when I'm in my nice little space where there's, you know, this separation between what I believe, what I think, what I feel, and what I know, I run up against somebody who knows nothing, who wants to challenge me, who wants to put their impressions and expressions and their personal beliefs about what I ought to believe on me. And it challenges me to the point of saying, now, God, if I'm looking at this person who is in this situation with this death dealing sin, who has set up a crack house on the corner that as the kids walk by, they can be tainted and tricked into going in, and they'll be given something. Oh, this free. Go on, take this. Come here, little girl. Look at this pretty little doll. If this death dealing sin person can try to make me change my way of thinking about Christ, while at the same time he's dealing death to the many, how easy is it for me to walk closer to the life giver one who, because of his one death, gave us all the opportunity to live this abundant life? And I'm thinking and I'm wondering, God, I see more and more every day, what's so amazing about grace? What's so amazing about grace is that I have this ability to do things that I never had the opportunity to do before. What's so amazing about grace is that I get this feeling on the inside that I never felt before when I begin to think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's this thing that's so amazing about grace that makes me want to move every time I see something that hurts my heart. Every time I see something that causes me to shudder in my skin. Every time I hear a word that has nothing to do with the reverence of God, but has everything to do with some person's single-minded position about who Jesus is, it makes me wonder more and more how. Makes me wonder more and more why. Makes me wonder more and more, what was it in this man called Jesus that wanted to give up his life for us? Us in our human nature. Us in our messed up thinking, our messed up way of life, our messed up everything. What was it that God in heaven saw in his creation that would make him want to send his son to the death-dealing place of sin? Crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God. How many of us, when we know what we're sending our children into, how many of us who know what we might be walking into would still intentionally go? Why would we go? Do we have what it takes to go anyway? God boggles my mind because I wouldn't have sent my son. I would have wanted to keep him close to me. Because God being God already saw. God being God already knew. God being God already understood things that I cannot even in my mind begin to comprehend. Even though I'm reading the word, I'm praying the word, I'm fasting on the word, it still makes my mind boggle. Because I do not have the capacity to comprehend why God makes the decisions that God makes. But what I do know,
come on.
And what I've come to learn and understand, that what's so amazing about grace is that God will do things when I least expect it. God will do things when I don't even think he ought to do things. God will do things when I believe I'm not even worthy to call out his name. God will do things when I don't even think I ought to get up the next day because I know what I did the night before. This is the amazing grace of God. And so when I'm thinking about what's so amazing about grace and what it is that I can do and about what it is that I need, what I need is a touch.
Come on.
What I need is a hand.
Yeah.
What I need is a hug. What I need is a smile. What I need is a kind word. What I need is somebody to put their hand on my shoulder. What I need is somebody to walk me through. What I need is somebody to guide me to him who is so amazing. That is what is so amazing about grace.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's so amazing about grace is the grace giver himself. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this day. We thank you for an exacting word, Lord God, that cuts going in and it cuts coming out. But I thank you, Father, even in that strong word, Lord God, there's compassion, there's hope, there's healing. Gracious and eternal God, as we have listened to your word, I pray now for these your people who have heard. These your people who will see what it is they need to do, because at your son's expense, yes, he gave his life. You gave your only begotten son for us, Lord God, that we would have an opportunity to live a free and abundant life. I thank you, Lord God, that even in all of this, that you allow us to be exposed and have exposure. Because if we are not exposed, if we don't have the light that is yours to shine upon us, Lord God, we will continue to do the things that we are due. And Lord God, we don't want to be the people who are leading the crowds and the masses to the abyss of separation from you. That is not the life that you designed for us, Lord God. We want to be in your will. But Father, even in the midst of your son's expense, even at the risk of us being exposed, Father, let us be an example of Christ. Let us live as that example, Lord God, that you have designed us to be. You've written it in your word. We've seen people who've been through it. And Father, help us to be your witnesses here on earth, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Mercy help me see I've been living a lie. And while writing the song, singing about your goodness, I started to cry. Yes, oh. Yeah.
It's love that I find.